You're now tuned into the Wellbeing Wake Up.
Yes, welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. You're tuning to the Wellbeing Wake Up on the Up and Up Network. I'm your host, Rebel Rubino. We're honored to have you guys here with us today. For those who are first-time listeners, the Wellbeing Wake Up is what we call the sanctuary for vulnerable conversations, authenticity, and really just dialogue that's going to create more direction, right? Again, we're here to learn from the professionals, the creators, the builders, and just adult human beings overall, man. That's what we're here for, and we really want to be able to come together and trade perspectives, trade experiences, and again, ultimately, it's for all of us to navigate and grow together. So with that being said, welcome to the show. Now let's build. Today, we're joined by two amazing guests. I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and, you know, what people should know about you. I'm going to let you go.
Okay. What's up, everybody? My name is Breon L. Barron. I go by Bree, the brand whisperer on social media.
Hey.
I'm a branding and marketing professional, creative director, designer, content creator, and entrepreneur. Excited to be in conversation with y'all.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome. Pleasure to have you.
My name is DeAndre Campbell. I'll just start with, I run Warrior Academy. That is a football academy where we work with youth ages 7 all the way to professional athletes, helping them with the mental preparation, but also the physical preparation mm-hmm. that it takes to come closer to their goals from a football standpoint, but also a life standpoint. And so I've been doing that. But then I also do different fitness aspect through DeAndre Campbell Training, where I do some personal training, some group fitness stuff, whether that's through organizations or community organizations or youth groups.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself doing a bunch of different things. I'm also a co-collaborating owner of Level Up Camp.
Okay.
That is a training camp that we do currently between Washington and Hawaii, where okay. we bring former collegiate and professional level players to these different communities that wouldn't otherwise receive them in their community to get the hands-on coaching and training that they wouldn't get at different levels to help them get that much closer to their mm-hmm. goals. So I do a couple of different things, but
a lot of things. That's good though.
But one or two things, man. But
thank you, bro. Thank you both for being here. Both y'all are definitely Up and Up Network alumni.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the building. So like I said, you know, these episodes are built to kind of for all of us to use it as a vehicle to drive dialogue, you know, and I feel like we all have traveled a road. We've gained experiences. We had wins. We had losses. And I think it's dope for us to be able to come together and just share those, you know. But today's overarching theme for this episode is the holistic health conversation. And what we want to talk about more so is balancing health with ambition, right? I think we're human, but then we're ambitious humans sometimes. And finding that balance is something that, for myself, I've definitely still am navigating, and I feel like we'll always have to navigate. But I think just having a conversation around it from, you know, two professionals and folks who've accomplished a lot would be dope. So I do want to just start off with the topic of, like, health. Right? Like, what does that look like? And I guess, how do you factor that into, like, where you're at right now? I mean, either one of you guys can touch on it, but I see it from a lot of different standpoints. But
I think that health plays a huge role in, you know, what we're able to do as ambitious as we are. You know, mm-hmm. like, I've seen enough people, you know, be truly adamant about going for their goals and achieving their goals at their health risk, their mental risk. You know, they were mentally locked in, you know,
yeah.
mentally ready to go, ready to take on the task, but their bodies failed them. And for me, what that showed me is that, you know, there will come points in time where if you're on the journey of success, that you do put your body on the line. You know, you do make that sacrifice of sleep. You know, you may not be eating as regularly and routinely as you should be, on that journey. But it's important when you do get to those points that you either have somebody in your corner to be like, hey, hold up for a second. Make sure you reel it back in to where you're doing what you need to do to take care of yourself. Because one thing that, you know, I've even learned is that sometimes when you get so caught up in trying to serve others, you short yourself.
Oh, there we go.
You know, you short yourself one more times than not on the whether it's the physical health, it may be the mental health, it may be the emotional health, you know, where you're not even checking on yourself. So I definitely think that, you know, health plays a really big role in where you are able to go and how ambitious you are able to truly be.
That's a big topic. Yeah. The being in positions of service and, like, I guess overly serving others and underserving yourself.
Yeah.
That's a real thing, for real.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've learned and continue to learn along my health journey is that, for one, you have to have a holistic perspective on it, in terms of recognizing that health involves your physical well-being, but also your mental well-being, your spiritual well-being, the way that you relate both to yourself and the people and community around you. So it has to do with communication styles, which all plays into mental and spiritual well-being.
Yep.
So one thing that I've recognized is that your health practice, whatever that may look like, needs to have a holistic point of view.
Okay.
And I've also learned that it has to be personalized to you and your experience. I think that especially with our exposure to social media or any kind of media, there are obviously, like, images of health, optics of health that we get a lot of exposure to.
Yeah.
And sometimes people start to chase that image of health based on, you know, what they see someone else doing or something that they see being celebrated on a social level. And really, health, like any aspect of your identity, is a journey that involves trying a lot of different things, sometimes failing at things, until you find a practice that actually suits your needs and your lifestyle and what you have the ability to successfully sustain.
Yeah.
Because consistency is a big part of health as well. So I think about health as a holistic and personal practice.
Yeah.
No, facts. Like, I couldn't agree more. Like, it's really about being intentional about what you're doing and not, and I think one of the biggest things is being real with yourself.
There you go.
You know, like, you can get, like she was saying, like, you can get so caught up in, like, what's going on social media, the conversations you're having with your friends and your family, where you think your life should be at this particular moment, where you should be headed, regretting the things that you didn't do, you know, like, carrying all that with you while you're still trying to stay in the current space you're in, wherever you're at in your life.
Yeah.
Like, that's like that's a heavy weight to carry, you know, but if you don't be real with yourself, it gets even heavier.
Yeah. I think also, like, lifestyle is important.
Yeah.
You know, I think health is important, but then how are you living?
Right.
Because I think that's another thing that I notice, where sometimes the people you're surrounded with, it's like everybody has a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this person's like, I'm going to get to bed at 10 p.m.
Right.
And this person's like, yo, I'm up till 3. I'm turning up. I'm going out. You know what I mean? And it's like, we don't have the same lifestyle. You know, and I think that can affect your health too sometimes, right? So, I don't know. That's just what popped in my head when I thought about that.
Yeah, no,
I think everything you guys said is, like, on the money, but I just feel like lifestyles. That's one thing I've always been thinking about, is, like, lifestyle. How am I living? I got to change my lifestyle up. Because if I don't change my lifestyle up, none of this stuff is going to work.
One of the things that can make that challenging for some people, and the reason that I think all health practices really start with your mindset, is because many people live in a circumstance that they don't feel have, or that doesn't have a lot of flexibility.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of elitism around the topic of wellness on a mainstream level.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to really be targeted toward a specific demographic of people who have a certain income, have a certain level of just time to kill, support, whatever that may be. And so there are people who are more in more limiting circumstances who are like, well, I don't live in a walkable neighborhood. How am I supposed to get out and go for a walk? Mm-hmm. Or, like, I don't have the money to, you know, have a membership at a gym. Like, how do I incorporate that? So I think that mindset is, like, the key ingredient to developing a health ritual or practice for yourself. Because if your mindset is health and well-being is a part of my life no matter what, then you will find ways to navigate whatever your current situation is in order to incorporate a health practice. So it might go from being a person that's like, I don't have a gym membership, I don't live in a place where I can walk around, but I have access to YouTube and I can do this little like workout in my living room or in my bedroom until I get into a different circumstance. So I think like being in the mentality that health is a part of your identity, that will take you where you need to go, no matter like what ways your circumstances may limit you.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that that ties into the fact that like your mindset determines so much, because if your mindset isn't right, you're not going to be willing to do the work.
Absolutely.
And for it to be, incorporated in your lifestyle, it requires work and practice and, and consistency, because it doesn't become a lifestyle change until you have the repetitive reps of it. Right. I could do it for a week, but that's not a lifestyle change. Right. I could do it for a month, but that doesn't change my life. It just changes, you know, where I'm at right now, which is what you see people do. Like, you know, even clients that I've had, you know, in the past is, you know, they're trying to reach a certain weight goal or physique for a trip or a certain event.
Yeah, that's right. I see that a lot. Yeah.
And it comes with an expiration date. Right. But that's not a lifestyle change. That's just, okay, I'm going to do what I can for the here and now to get these results, go on this trip. And then when I get on this trip, I'm going to just eat whatever I'm going to eat. And then when I come back from the trip is, hey, I'll figure out, you know, I'll go back to either being unhappy with where I was, where I'm at right now, or I may continue to go to the gym.
Yeah.
But it's a, when you get back from that trip, it's an option.
It's like a short-term commitment.
It's a short-term commitment. Yeah. Right. And it's like, you know, like she was saying too, it's like, if your mindset is right, you'll find a way to find a way. And most people nowadays are looking for what I've been saying is microwave processes, right? If you're looking for a microwave process, you're going to get microwave results. But if you go through this oven process, which is, you know, putting in the time, energy, and effort to, you know, going to work out, you know, take mental breaks from the workload, you know, having conversations that have nothing to do with your career path, you know, reading a book, going for a walk, sitting in silence. Like, there's so many different things that you can do to put you in the best position possible to stay in the best mental state to maintain that lifestyle. But you have to do the work and be willing to do the work to get to that point.
Yeah, I like that. I like what Bree said to earlier about the holistic, like, health, because I think sometimes, like, you might stand next to someone who physically looks healthy.
Yeah.
Right? But then are they mentally healthy? Or are they spiritually healthy? And then, you know what I mean? And I think sometimes people think they have to be all at once. Like, they have to have all of them checked off. And it's like, man, sometimes that's not realistic. You know what I mean? And I'm not to, it's not to say one is more important than the other.
Yeah.
I think they're all important, right? But I think you just got to be mindful of, like, where you need to improve, right? And, like, it alleviates the pressure a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We all can improve on different things. But, yeah, that holistic approach is important, because I think sometimes people only think about the physical, generally. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And yeah, no, man. Cause it's like, one of the things I think about too is how you show up for people. Right. Like, if you're not in a healthy state, how you usually have shown up for somebody may taper off. If they're not aware of it, they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, normally you may be like somebody that may be down for a second, but you bounce back. Right. But what about those times where you don't bounce back as fast? Are they aware? Right. Or are you aware? Right. So it's like, it's a internal battle, you know, that you have to like be real with yourself, because the biggest thing that I think sometimes people do is they set those unrealistic expectations. You know, and if you set, I've always said this, if you set unrealistic expectations, then you've already disappointed yourself before you even started. Right? Versus let me be real with myself and be like, hey, this is what I'm willing to commit to, and I'll grow and progress over time. But as of right now, this is what I'm willing to commit to. Like, be real where that is, like where that start point is. Not I'm about to just start from cold turkey and go 5 days a week, 7 days a week, because that's not, you're not going to maintain that. Right? And the goal is longevity, not the short-term play. So it's like, be real with yourself about that.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And I guess we could steer into like further into the conversation about ambition and health. Because I think, like, you guys, obviously earlier in the intros, you talked about the work you guys have been doing. I mean, y'all have been grinding for a minute. You know what I mean? I think we all have. Can you just talk a little bit about your experiences with that? Like, being so ambitious, but also, like, you're human. And your body would be like, not today. You know? You'll have those days where it's like, not today. You know? How do you balance that?
One of the things that I think is really important is that for one, the ideas that we get around like discipline and health and just like the way that we balance our lives in general, I think start really early in life. And so it's helpful to have a support system, whether that's in the form of your parents, your siblings, your friends, mentors, it doesn't have to be your relatives, mm-hmm. but people early in your life, particularly in those formative years, like when you're a preteen and a teenager and stuff, who teach you about having a balanced life, that it's not always about achievement or winning or things like that. And that it is about being able to achieve what you're going after, but doing so in a way that's mindful of your well-being at the same time. And something that I always go back to when I think about my own upbringing is that my mother was that person for me. And I went to a very like academically rigorous high school where there were high standards as the norm. So staying up late, studying for things, doing homework, whatever was the norm, because everybody was trying to get into a certain kind of college, have a certain type of future.
Yep.
But there were times when I was overwhelmed. And my mother was intuitive enough to recognize that like that needed to be addressed. And if that meant that I needed to take a break, you know, for a week or whatever, she was the type to come to the school and pick me up and take me home. And like, let me take that break, get myself together, and then get back in the game. And even if you don't have somebody that's willing to like take you out the game and let you recover, at least having somebody tell you, check on you, you know, hey, how are you feeling about things?
Yeah.
And I think especially I'm a woman, I'm a girl. I don't know. I have a lot of male friends, though. I don't know that like my male friends get as much of that or if that's as normal for boys and men as it is for girls and women to have somebody say, hey, it's OK to like check on how you feel.
I don't
right
think
now,
so.
I was going to let you finish because I was going to give you another side, but I just wanted to let you finish.
Yeah, please do.
So my when it comes to ambition, my ambition, like you said, was created in the formative years, right?
Yeah.
I grew up in Oakland, California. If anybody knows anything about Oakland, Oakland is not one of your most ideal places you want to grow up just because of the reputation of violence, left and right, you know, over 100 deaths each year annually since I was born, right? For me, I was always ambitious enough and wanting more than what I saw. I saw drug dealers in the street getting money, but I saw them dying just as fast as they got the money, right?
Yep.
I saw people going to play sports as an avenue to get out, but I also saw people that were good at sports that didn't have the grades to go on further in sports. So it was like, okay, well, I know the biggest thing I want to be able to do is see more than what's around me, right? So I'm going to push myself however hard I have to push myself. There is no limit that I'm not willing to test to see what it takes to get out of this.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in these circumstances, right? I don't want my dad worked for 32 years. He had to medically retire because at one point in time he had high blood pressure, wasn't taking his medication, but he still knew the routine of work. So he still got up every day, even though he wasn't taking care of his health to the point to where if a stroke is right here, he was right underneath the stroke. He was in the hospital from a Tuesday to Saturday, still to this day doesn't remember the entire time he was there. Had to medically retire. All because he was overworking and he wasn't taking care of himself. So I take his work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen his work ethic. Yeah. Like, I know what it takes, but I also know where it leads to if I go that same pathway.
Yeah.
So I'm conscious of how hard I push myself.
Yeah.
Right? To where, hey, I know I can take on a lot. Right? I know I'm gonna be up late, go travel here.
Yeah.
Come, as soon as I get right back, you see me at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. In a training session. Yep. Right? Because I know how to grind, but I also have to be aware of, you know, of how it, you know, how it affects me.
Yeah.
Because I know how to work past my physical.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't have that, you know, I didn't have that growing up. Hey, if I'm not feeling it, somebody come and get me from school.
Yeah.
Mom and dad is working.
Yeah.
Right. There's nobody to come pick me up.
I feel like also know? It's like mindset. Like you were saying, like, I think there's like a scarcity mindset and then like an abundance mindset, you know? And I think we come from that, like our culture, like just black, brown, underrepresented. It's like, we got to work twice as hard to get half of what they get, right?
Yeah.
You always hear that. So that innately is going to just make you operate in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, if I take my foot off the pedal, then it might be a wrap for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's an unhealthy way. And we were doing a lot of unlearning. That's what I'm, that's what I'm realizing.
Like,
you're teaching me stuff right now. We're teaching each other stuff and people are learning from each other. At the same time, you got to unlearn a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like simultaneously doing both. And so I think that's how I view it with the ambition. I think even for myself, like I feel like I was more, I got to a point where I had to learn how to be proactive.
Yeah.
Because I was more reactive. You know what I mean? I'll burn out. And then the results of the burnout is how I reacted to like, oh, yeah. shit. But it wasn't until I burnt out. Like you said, it wasn't until your pops hit that point where I was like, oh, shit, something's wrong here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it is important to be more proactive about that. But it's tough, you know, because we want to win.
Right.
You know, you want to succeed. And I don't know. I watch Kobe interviews and he's talking about his routine. And I'm like, shit, I ain't working hard enough. Yeah. But then he also has interviews where he's talking about how he rests.
Yeah.
But we ignore that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
It's
a balance.
Greatness, man, like greatness, whether it's sports related or whatever career path you're in, man, like it takes the sacrifice.
Mm.
You know, like it, like you can't get that without giving something, you know, and it's really a matter of what you're willing to give and how great you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I tell the kids that I train is the standard is the standard. I don't care where your ability is right now, currently, I know where it has to get to.
Mm.
Because I know where they're looking for you to be at. So I can't do anything about that. I can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents can't change that. No coach can change that.
Mm-hmm.
The standard is the standard. So you have to either rise to the occasion or you fall short.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the reality of it. But what I pride myself on telling these kids is along the journey to get there, you will learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
That will help you whether you get there or not,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the process is what teaches you.
That's real.
You know, and so it's like
that's real.
Getting these kids to understand the process helps them go after more than just the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the holistic aspect of who they are,
yeah.
you know, because I've been in that position, you know, like I talked about on the last, mm-hmm. I've been in a position where my identity was only in football.
Yeah.
You know, and it was unhealthy, you know, to where – when I got done with football, people asked me, oh, what do? I couldn't identify as a football player.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, well, what do I do? Who am I? What mm-hmm. is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? So there was no balance. It was like I was so engulfed in my ambition that that's all I knew.
Mm.
And so I went through that downfall of, dang, like what am I capable of? What am I meant to do outside
yeah.
of this? Because it's not here.
That's a good point because I feel like we're sometimes just stuck in this ambitious
yeah.
drive. Because we don't know how to hop out.
Yeah, yeah,
what are we going to hop out and do? This
right.
is all I know.
Right.
That's real, bro.
Right.
But that's I think real. That's another, what you were just saying about having an abundance mindset as
yeah.
opposed to a scarcity mindset is a really important point.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially if you come from an identity group that's disadvantaged anyway,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do get tunnel vision focused on one way out or way up.
Mm.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I can really appreciate about my journey professionally and how I've been kind of nomadic in my career, exploring different avenues, mm-hmm. is that as I started to explore what I was being ambitious toward, like what the results were that I was seeking, I realized success to me includes a healthy well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a path that is taking me far away from my ability to maintain some level of well-being, then yeah. maybe it is not the path for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way to appreciate like the rigor of something and the standard that you need to meet while also recognizing that that's not the only way.
Mm.
And I would love to be an example to people from our community that like explore. So it's what you're saying too about the process and what you learn in the process. And that's why the process is so important because
yeah.
it can't all be about the outcomes and the results because
yeah.
you may learn along the journey that there's actually something else that you're drawn to or something else that you could be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could be just as successful at that as whatever you were going after.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to this point only like a few years ago when I had kind of reached like a certain like a peak in my career. I was mm-hmm. making the most money I'd ever made. I reached the kind of title I wanted, the kind of organization I wanted to work for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is everything I thought it would be on one end,
mm-hmm.
but it is requiring me to sacrifice a part of my well-being that I worked hard to build up as well.
Mm.
And so maybe this is not the answer.
Mm.
Let me take what I'm learning from this and see if I can gain some of these same benefits doing something that also allows me to prioritize my well-being.
Mm.
So yeah. having an open mind about that is key, I think, when finding the harmony between
yeah.
ambition and health.
That's ambitious in itself, though.
Yeah.
Like just making that decision is an ambitious decision
Absolutely.
To like, okay, well, I got to find a way to make it work for myself.
Yeah. But that's the abundance mindset too.
I like that.
Knowing like what I had is great, but it's not the only option.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of bravery to have that mindset if you come from less.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. That is ambition too.
And you said something like there was a point that you made. It was like you were nomadic in your approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you weren't just so planted in one area. It's like one thing that you have to understand when you're being ambitious and you're trying to grow something and build something is that you can't get so locked in on one way of doing things because that may work for a season, but it may just die off completely and now you're left with nothing.
Right.
So you have to be in a position to where your mind is open, like you were saying, to where you're ready to pivot.
Yeah.
You know, at moments notice, you're ready to make that pivot to something that's hidden that you were testing out. Over, you had something to solidify right here, but you're testing out this thing over here and over here and over here. As this thing is dwindling away, something else of these over here is building.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And so now it's like, let me take it away from here and focus it there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's just because it's just taking off. Right.
Yeah.
And I can attest to that, man. Like I wanted to, my whole goal as an entrepreneur was to work primarily doing what I love to do, but allow that to create other avenues, other streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I went that route. And one of the things that I did was I started a trucking business, right? Posted on social media. Everybody got to see, you know, got the truck, you know, we're looking for a driver, all that type of stuff. But on the back end, it failed.
Mm.
Right. And it was a learning lesson for me because it put me thousands of dollars in debt on trying to be overly ambitious.
Yeah.
Right. I was trying to reach out to find these other streams of income and other resources to help me get closer to my goals and dreams because I was so overly ambitious that I just didn't look further within myself to where I now have looked further within myself to see I had the other avenue streams all along.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. But I had to go through that process.
Yeah. You have to.
Absolutely. You got to go through that process to pivot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. To hit that up, to hit that down, and to also to know how down you can be to know how far you can go up.
Yeah.
Right. Like you don't know how far you can go up until you've been down to your last or to your worst. And you don't know what you're going to do.
Real.
And then once you get there, it's like, oh, I've been here before.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I'm drawing from the bottom. Like, I still got it.
You know what I'm saying? When things are going good for a long period of time, I get uncomfortable.
Yeah, because it's like, it's only a
matter of time. I swear, because I'm like, this is...
It's only a matter of time.
Like watching a movie, like, if it's good the whole way, I'm like, this is not a good movie. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I need... Something got to go down, bro.
Something. Like, something.
But it's important to embrace all of that, though. You know what I mean? When it does come.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you've seen it before. It's just different versions of it. But, I literally had a point, but you have literally lost my train of thought. It's good. I think that's something I agree with what both you guys have been saying. But
to add to that, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I think kind of on the flip side, like, you do have to see how low you can go and, like, what you do with that circumstance. I also think it's beneficial to get to reach a high.
Facts.
And, you know, to get to a point where you've been aspiring to get to really reach your goal.
Yeah.
So that you can see that's not everything either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so you have, like, life goes on.
Yeah.
Whether you're in a valley or at a peak, like,
facts.
It's going to keep moving and you keep evolving as an individual.
Yep.
And so being nimble and being ready to pivot is important, but also, like, continuing to follow your curiosity is important, whether you're high or low.
Yeah.
And continuing to reach inside of yourself and see, like, what more purpose do I have to serve? What more can I explore that I am uniquely positioned to contribute? That's important. And I also think, like, to bring it back to health, too, like, as you go through those different seasons in your life, your health practice is going to change. Your body is changing. Your mind is changing. Like, everything about life changes. And so you have to have that same open-mindedness about how you manage your health practice as well and your expectations of yourself.
Yeah. Okay. My thought came back. So when you were talking about literally like you're trying to do a trucking business and you're trying to do this and everything. And like the other day I watched this Big Sean video. He did like a mini doc and the whole theme of the doc was called clarity. And it was just literally about how sometimes you just got to stop.
Yeah.
And really like gain clarity, allow clarity to like set in so you can really see things. Not just professionally, but personally, you know? And I think that's the hardest part sometimes for ambitious people.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't stop, you know? And I think if you have had moments in the past where you had to have an abrupt pause, even if it was like unforeseen, you came out of it better.
Facts.
Because you got a chance to sit with yourself. I think that's another thing. I don't think people I don't think people are comfortable just sitting with themselves sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like sometimes people are working to run from something or run towards something.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just like sitting with themselves and allowing themselves to really have a clear picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that is important because it's like you hear the term like work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. But sometimes to work smarter and not harder, you have to like really have clarity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was something that popped in my head when you were talking about that because I saw that video and it just set in for me. I'm like, clarity is important.
Yeah. You know, it is because it's just like, you know, it just hits on that. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
Real. You know, it's like, real man, talk. Like if you, like you said, if you just get so used to being on the go, like you don't celebrate those highs when you get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, oh, I got here, but now it's like, now I got here. It's like, oh, I see there's something greater up here now.
There's always something,
you know,
greater.
There's always something greater. Yeah, right. And that's I won't say it's the downside of ambition, but I do think it puts you in a state to where you're at isn't enough.
Mm.
You know, that's what drives you, but it also can hinder you because you don't have that balance.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know when to dial it back. You know, like sometimes I don't know when to dial it back.
Yeah.
You know, because I get so caught up in the joys of these moments that I'm enjoying what I'm doing that it's like, yeah, I know you. Yeah, you just worked for 16 hours.
Yeah,
like you were just up entire weekend. You look, you started your day at 6 a.m. and didn't get into bed until 11, and had to be up at 6 the next day to be up till 6.
And when you're winning, people are like cheering you on.
I see you.
Nobody sees you winning. Say, yo, stop winning,
it.
Bro.
I see you killing.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's like, how are you doing?
Yeah, like after Kobe won that first ring, we wasn't like, all right, bro, you could chill. I was like,
right,
no. Go do it again.
Right,
do we're
it
like,
again.
It's like taught. We're like learned to like,
yeah, yeah.
And oh, if, you got to get another one.
Man,
it's like,
look, but I did hear this. I'm really big on quotes, man. Like if I hear a gym,
oh, yeah,
somebody says, right, I'm always collecting, man. Probably. I heard this gym. If you live for the criticism of others, you will die. If you live for the opinion of others, you will die for the criticism.
Mm.
Right. And it's like, how much value does what people say and think weigh on your health?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. To where it puts you in a position to where now you're not as ambitious because you care more about what they think than about where you want to go.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that also plays a big thing into as far as your health goes.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, you know, do you have a good support system around you? You know, do you have people that care about your interests and not their own interests?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. That also plays into your health because that's a community standpoint, but that also plays into you holding yourself accountable from a physical, emotional, and, you know, intellectual standpoint. So it's just like, it's so many different caveats that can be hindering or supporting your own health journey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real.
But when you talk about clarity, I think like what's part of the importance of being able to sit with yourself in the in-betweens in life or whatever, being able to slow yourself down, is that a lot of people are not comfortable because they're not used to paying attention to how they feel.
Mm.
Like we define success by these measurable, tangible things sometimes.
Mm.
And I think that we all have to get into the practice of being able to paint a picture of what success looks like based on what feels right to us too.
Yeah.
You know how it feels when you have a good group of friends who you trust, who care about your well-being and your ambitions. You know how it feels when you're doing work that you love.
Yep.
To where even if you're pulling a 16-hour day, it doesn't feel like the wear and tear of doing a job that you're not really invested in because you're driven by the results and not the process, right? And so the benefit of sitting with yourself is paying attention to the details of your experience on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And when you talked about that, what it brought to mind for me was at the beginning of 2023, I walked away from a pretty high-profile corporate job just because I didn't want to do it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to deal with a lot of, like, guilt around, like, I'm just going to walk away from this comfy, cushy, high-paying job when people are struggling right now.
Yep.
Many people would, you know, are really vying to be in this position. Mm-hmm. What right do I have? Mm-hmm. But it comes back to that abundance and scarcity mindset where I was just like, I have a right to decide that this is not enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's enough for somebody else or what they're looking for doesn't mean that it's the right fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit it without another job lined up.
Mm-hmm.
I made a vow to do a 3-month sabbatical from working altogether.
Mm.
I was like, I've been in my field for 10 years. I've always had a full-time job in a leadership position and a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I can take a break.
Yeah.
So I did that. And by the time the 3 months was up, I realized like I was still recovering from burnout and ended up ultimately taking a whole year to decide what I wanted to do next. Mm-hmm. But in that time was able to really explore some new ideas, really like get visual about things that I wanted to bring to life. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't given myself that clarity in that space. And fortunately for the job I was doing before, I was able to afford to do that.
Yeah.
So there's a benefit to having seasons where you do the hard work and you do commit to the rigor and you do more than, you know, your capacity sometimes, mm-hmm. but also use that to put yourself in a position to like take a season of rest. Like that's part of what we do all this for,
yes,
to be able
real.
To afford that flexibility and harmony.
That's real. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I haven't done it like that. I haven't taken a year off.
Yeah. You should
man,
try
look, I don't know the way to check it and save it. Instead of, I don't know if we can, business ain't hitting that good. But,
no, that's inspiring. No, though, but now
but,
I'm like, okay, cool.
But one thing that I have done that I do often is I do travel. Like I do travel and like people like if let's just say tomorrow I was going on a trip, right?
Yeah.
Somebody today be like, oh, you going on a trip tomorrow? You excited? I'm like, no, because I still have things that I have to do here before I leave. And for me, that clock turn off for me is when I get in the car to either whether it's a Lyft or somebody dropping me off at the airport. Once I get to that point, then it's like, okay, boom, we're good. Let's go. Now I can like turn it off.
You know what it is too? You have to have, that's like that self-mastery. Like you got to be able to detach.
Yeah.
Like let go.
Yeah.
Because that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you love something, you love doing something,
right?
And people love that you do this thing,
right?
It's like you're not only letting go of the thing, you're letting go of the people who want to see you do the thing, and there's so many attachments. So,
right,
even if it's to unplug, I see that a lot with artists, like you know, rappers, like yo, like I don't have an album coming, and they're like, where you at? Drop the album,
right?
And it's like, damn, can they just like detach?
Yeah,
you know. So, I think, like when you were talking about your period of like finding that time to do that, I think that's what some people just aren't able to detach, you know, and unplug.
Yeah.
So again, like, all that is just relative, but
the point that's a good point that you make about the attachment as well to other people's impressions of it,
other
people's investment in what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's another important lesson I learned really recently was like, people pleasing is something folks have to break out of.
Mm.
Yeah.
And
talk
I think
about
that
it.
More of us do it than realize, because sometimes you think it's just, you know, you just care about your community, you care about your family.
Yeah,
it's just care. But a lot of times it is a practice of people pleasing,
mm-hmm.
of wanting to not let folks down, of wanting to not disappoint nobody or break nobody's expectations.
Yeah.
And I think that with wisdom comes the recognition that like we all get our own lives to decide like what we want to do with those in the time that we have on this earth. And validation is nice. Having people's respect and admiration is great, feels good.
Mm-hmm.
But it should never get in the way of you being aligned with yourself and what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's well-intended, because a lot of people's expectations and desires for you are well-intended. They want to see you succeed. They want to see what you do best.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knows you like you.
That's real.
And I think like part of that detachment comes with recognizing that like it's okay to let some folks down.
Yeah.
Even if they tell you that they feel let down.
Yeah.
You gotta detach from whatever guilt that might yield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the only real way to like personally empower yourself.
Yeah.
To kind of get to the next level in life.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah, no, like true. I agree. Like for me, I think, you know, it was my attachment to weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to like recently I've been busy on weekends. Like, so Saturdays and Sundays, I'm working,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas more times than not, I've been so accustomed to Saturdays and Sundays is where everybody's getting together, linking up, going out, having a good time, you know, talking about how much the weekend or the week sucked and how excited we are for the weekend. It's like, that's not my reality right
no,
now.
Facts.
Like, I'm working on the weekend. Facts. So when Monday comes and everybody's like, oh, dang, I got to go back to work. And I'm like, because nobody's really excited really to go out.
Yeah.
Right. People aren't really excited to coming on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I was gonna hang out. So what that's done for me mentally is it's put me in a position to where I don't feel like I'm missing out on what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. So if the weekend is I see people on social media stories, they out having a good time with friends, doing their thing, and I'm like, that's great for you guys. Yeah. Like, I'm so glad that you guys are doing that, but yeah. I don't feel like I need to be there.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, I'm good where I'm at with what I'm doing.
Well, you're defining, you have to redefine what fun means.
Exactly. Over time. Like, exactly. And like you said, right. And I'm growing in what that means to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because now it's like, I've had that fun, right? I've experienced those things. I've been there. I've done that. Like that's cool. That's awesome. But what I want is more than that.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I want that lifestyle. I want to be able to be comfortable all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I know that it's going to take a certain level of sacrifice, right, on my end, because I'm because of how ambitious I am and how much and how fast of a time I want to be able to accomplish it in, right? It takes more time for me to do it dedicated now, so that way I'll have more time to live it later.
That's true.
Right? I heard this quote too. The longer it takes you to get to your life, the less time you'll have to live there. And I was like, dang.
And you dropping quote after quote, so, bro.
I'm like, but look, man, that's like these are things that help me stay on track with what I'm trying to do. Like when I have those moments of doubt, like what can I point to? You know, what can I call somebody to hold me accountable or encourage me? Or can I read something? Or can I just go to the water for a second and turn my phone off? You know, like whatever I have to do for me to stay in the best headspace possible, if that's limiting my interactions with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. If me not being able to be there for certain people puts me in a position to where I can show up to impact the most people, because I've chosen my purpose to be impactful.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I know I can't show up to these camps or to these training sessions to empower these kids to go after their goals and dreams if I'm dealing with something else that somebody else tried to bring it to my circle.
That's real, bro.
Right.
That's
because real. Now it's tampered with. And now what I put out to these kids could be hurting them.
Yeah.
You know, because words have power.
Yeah.
You know, so if I know how powerful my words are when I get on these platforms and these opportunities, then I have to be more conscious of what I allow to be poured into my mind and what vibes I'm around, because I want to make sure I maximize on those opportunities.
Yeah.
I like that. So
I like that. No, that's real. I think we were just, me and Benny were talking the other day. And I was talking to other homie about this, where I feel like if you have to kind of accept what comes with the positioning that you put yourself in, right? So I feel like a lot of times if you're in a position of leadership, service, trying to provide, like back to the people-pleasing thing, you also got to embrace, not embrace, but you just got to accept that there's going to be an imbalance of reciprocity. So as much as you're pouring out, you might not get back what you're pouring out.
Yeah.
So that's where you have to be able to give yourself what you think others are going to give you.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen, right? It's like, you think Dr. King is sitting around waiting for people to, like, he's like, no, I got to give myself some.
Right.
He's constantly pouring out. You know what I mean? So I just think knowing your positioning, understanding what comes with it, and accepting is important too.
But that makes me think too, like, what you're saying about, like, updating your understanding of what's fun to you. That's, and detaching from people pleasing and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
In that process, you also get a new understanding of what you actually need from people.
Mm-hmm.
Like what reciprocity actually looks like changes.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a period of isolation that comes before meeting the people that are able to reciprocate and give you what you need in return. So for example, it's like you may have to turn down, you know, weekend plans with people in favor of focusing on what you're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
But then along the way, you will also find other like-minded individuals who don't have fun on the weekends, who understand what it's like to have
it. My tribe.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and so that's the beauty of it. And that's the other benefit of detaching from people pleasing, is that there are other people in the world and there's space for new relationships in your life that do help to uplift you and help to push you forward to the next level that you're like going to. But you have to know yourself first and be confident enough in your needs to be able to say, love that for y'all. That's not for me this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's how you start to attract the energy that is for you.
That's what it is.
You know, I like to think of it like sometimes in order for a new dish to come to the table, you got to clear the table first.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't mean that the old dishes weren't good enough or that you don't like them or won't have them again. But like, there needs to be some space at the table for newness to come in.
Right.
And
doing the salt bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do end up getting what you need once you understand what you need. Like one of the things that came to me during my season of clarity was that I was doing a lot of outpouring. I give a lot of advice. I give a lot of consulting. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of the role I end up playing in people's mm-hmm. lives, right? I needed somebody to teach me something. Mm. Like, not just to cheer me on, not just to support me, you know, which I appreciate, but I also needed somebody who could teach me something, who could put me in the right rooms, who could connect me with the right networks. Mm. And once I, like, understood that in my mind, mm-hmm. it helped me keep an eye out for the kinds of relationships I did want to make time for. Mm. And that changes the game too, because yeah. none of us does anything by ourselves. Yeah. So you do need to build community and network around you, but it has to be crafted around what you truly need
yeah.
to get yeah. to where you're trying to go.
Yeah, I love that. Man, what a conversation, y'all. this is dope, man. This is the vision we had for the show, and it's coming to life, man. Now, thank you guys for just joining us, joining the crew, being here. So when we wrap up these episodes, we always leave the audience and the guests and those listening and watching with a well-being tip for the day. So I'm gonna let DeAndre start off. What's your, if you could just give one well-being tip for the day that people can leave with, what would it be?
Man, one well-being tip of the day is, whatever you decide to do, just stay consistent. And if you stay consistent with somebody, if you stay consistent with it, the people that started with you, they'll start to fall off. Over time, as you stay more consistent, they'll start to fall off to where now you'll be elite, right? But you don't get to that point if you fall off, right? And it doesn't mean that you have to do something like two and a half, 3 hours a day, right? Mm-hmm. You can just put in consistent work, getting better at it over time, right? To where it's like the tortoise and the hare, right? If you continue to move forward, it doesn't matter. As long as you continue to move forward, if they stop before you stop, you'll win, mm. right? Like, that's mm. legit. Like, if they stop before you stop, you'll always win, because you'll separate yourself from the people that quit before you.
That's real. So
if you don't quit, you win.
There you go. There you go. I love that one. I can take it. Bree, what you got?
It's going to be like similar to that one, but a little bit remix.
Okay. Come on. Remix.
It's the remix.
My wellness tip would be find a promise that you can keep to yourself every day. So if it's a ritual, a morning or evening ritual, even if it's something as simple as like you light your incense every morning or you light your candle every morning, something, find a promise you can keep to yourself. And the reason that that's a wellness tip is because I think like self-trust is extremely important in building a consistency practice, no matter what you're doing. Like trusting yourself to get something done, trusting yourself to set your mind to something and to actually deliver on it. It sets the tone for everything that you do in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if you feel like you're in a very limited circumstance right now, maybe you're dealing with mental health issues, whatever, like find one thing that you can promise to do every single day and just do that. And that is how you will build up the self-trust to commit to the other larger things that you want to do. So same deal, consistency, you know, sticking in there, but like good. Start with something small that you can do every day.
So I love
it. I love it. My well-being tip would be, I would say unlock a childhood memory.
Mm.
Just one. Yeah. Like sometimes it's weird. I'll find myself like seeing something that I loved in my childhood, but you'd be like, ah, nah, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes like it's cool to unlock those memories, whether it's a song, a show, whatever, like even if it's for a moment, I feel like that plays into your well-being a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, adulting could be hard. You know what I'm saying? So
Thanks.
Sometimes it's good to reminisce and have those moments, just even if it's a small moment, for your well-being. So that's my tip. Man, thank you guys for joining me, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, man.
And for the audience, the listeners, thank you for joining us. Look out for the next episode. And with that being said, this is the Well-Being Wake Up, and you guys be well. Thank you.
Be well.
Hey, episode 2 in the books.
Let's do it.